I know any songs about Indiana? There are songs about Indiana? I barely know one about Kentucky.
Lyle's got one.
I've played on songs. I just don't happen to know the words any. Sorry.
You've played with Lyle Lovett on a song he wrote about Indiana, but I don't think we know
it. I know the chorus.
You know it, don't you?
Yeah. Only the chorus. No,
he does know one. Only part of one.
Check, please. We don't have to keep the questions confined to music, but whoever asked what's going on with the Cardinal defense, I don't know. I'll have to put a glove on and do something about it. Yes, sir. Okay, now I've heard different versions of this story, so I'll tell you the one that Blake and Hartford told me, which should be the real one. This mandolin that I now call Hoss, Norman Blake owned it when they did the during the period after Aeroplane, when he and John were a two-piece band, and so they went up to record the Morning Bugle album, and Dave Holland played bass on it with them. Well, so, and this mandolin was made in 1938, and when they made, whoever did the work on this at the Gibson factory was either drunk or still hungover or you know, and I think it was probably a factory second. It's really a crazy mandolin, but Blake bought it, and as he would be inclined to do, if it didn't sound quite to suit him, he'd figure out why and see what he could do about it. So, he figured out what he had to do was get the great luthier, Randy Wood, to take the back off of it and shave the braces and make the top a little. And then, in Norman's own words, later he did his own hippie handiwork, sanding on it with, you know, unmeasured sanding, just random sanding. And so it's kind of busted a few times from the random sanding, being a little too thin. But as the story goes, he and Hartford hated the finish on this mandolin, and it didn't look like this. This is a varnish one that was later done. So it was very thick, and you couldn't even see that grain of the wood through the finish. It was very, very, very thick. So Norman didn't like it. So he and John one night, they decided, let's take all the finish off that mandolin. Now, I read an account where they said they did it in a car. They told me it was in a hotel room. So it doesn't matter where they did it. They did it. And I heard this tape once, a portion of the tape, because John had a great radio announcing voice, and so he was the sportscaster, narrating Norman Blake taking the finish off this mandolin with a pocket knife. Now we're going down, and I just remember he said, "Now we're going down by the treble F hole. Let's go in for a close up," and you can hear Blake scrape. So that's the story. They decided this mandolin's finish was terrible, and they took it off one night. And I had the good fortune to get the mandolin in January 1973, and I've had it ever since. So I really appreciate Norman Blake getting rid of this mandolin.
Well, what you think?
Yes, sir, another one, we'll play one. I didn't know him that well. I think you had to actually work in his band to have to clean the stalls. We were just visitors. It was actually in that barn that day when he told us we were the Bluegrass Alliance, and he said, "I've got a song I want you guys to do." And he basically gave us the song that day called Body and Soul. He said, "I want you guys to do this song." Now, he later recorded himself, but yeah, he liked us enough at the time.
You still do that one?
Not too much.
What year was that?
This would have been in 1971, so 45 years ago. It was my first Bean Blossom, yes. Now, when I was a kid, we would come up here before there was a Bean Blossom Bluegrass Festival, it was the barn that's now gone, but it would be the Brown County Jamboree. And so anybody ever go to that one on Sundays? There you go. And but we would come drive up from Bowling Green, Kentucky, make a pilgrimage up to hear Bill Monroe and the Bluegrass Boys in the afternoon performance. We even need to go back before the evening one. But that was something. And when you got to see Bill doing all the show with the Bluegrass Boys would open the show for a little while, for about a half an hour. And that's when Birch Monroe would come out and play the fiddle with them. And so the first band that I would have seen at that time, the guitar player was Pete Rowan. Not Peter, Pete Rowan. He was Pete Rowan then, or Rowans, excuse me. Yeah, he was plural. Pete Rowans, Gene Loewinger on fiddle, Don Leinberger, left-handed banjo player, and James on bass, Monroe. And then within a year, they had Lamar Greer on the banjo and Richard Green. And we just come up here and hear that band. So it's pretty great. Got to hear them. And then also we'd come to the Brown County Jamboree to hear them with the band, with Roland White on guitar and Byron Berline on fiddle and Vic Jordan on banjo. So I got to hear some pretty great Bill bands. That's pretty great stuff. What did Bill think about me when he first met me? I don't know. I mean, I was only like 13 or 14 when I met Bill, so he would let me play on the Bluegrass Boys portion, but not his. You know, I hadn't earned it yet. I couldn't play with Bill Monroe yet. I hadn't been there, and so I got to play a little bit with the Bluegrass Boys with Peter and Richard and those guys. I beg your pardon? Did I ever get to play Bill's Lore? Yes, but he didn't know it. Well, now let me explain. It wasn't okay. So you know, I was working with the Gibson Corporation. Charlie Darrington was the guy who repaired Bill Monroe's mandolin when it was so tragically beaten up in his house, and we thought it was destroyed. And Charlie Darrington did an incredible job restoring that mandolin. And so I happened to be at Gibson the day Bill was coming. It was finished, and I didn't, you know. And Charlie looked at me and goes, "Would you like to play Bill's mandolin?" And I said, "It's back together? It's an instrument again?" He goes, "Yeah, man." He pulled it out, and I played it a little bit, and it sounded incredible. It was so comforting to know that you might lose your great mandolin and get it back somehow with a guy like Charlie Darrington fixing it. Now, I will... Okay, I got to tell on myself. years later, when I was playing with Emmy Lou Harris... Newgrass Revival was over, so Bill was comfortable now. And now I'm in Emmy Lou's band. Everything's great. And he invited Emmy Lou and a few of us out to his house for his birthday celebration. Well, I'd never been there before, so we were in Bill Monroe's house. And if you remember Charles Sawtell from Hot Rise, Charles was there, and Charles and I start kind of walking around Bill's house, and I mean, people were doing this, and we all of a sudden we saw his mandolin laying in a bedroom, and we go in really quietly, we opened the latches, and we just had the case opened, we were about to touch it, when up behind us comes my wife. Lynn, who gave us the, "What in the hell are you guys doing?" Charles and I jumped about 4 feet, shut the case, and got the hell out of there. So we didn't actually touch it that night. But I did get to play it once, and it was a pretty amazing thing. We weren't supposed to be in there, really. All right, let's do bluegrass song.